Beautiful. Mike Hongslow.
Thank you, Mark.
Playing a little John Mayer, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room. Love that song.
Thank
Love
you.
The work that you do. It sounds pretty.
Thank
and,
you. A few sour notes there. I know I'm not supposed to say that. A couple mistakes there, but that's okay.
You know what?
Best usually do. The best usually do make a few mistakes.
That's right. But you know what? You just keep going, and that's the improvisational life that we have as DJs because we're not perfect.
Nobody is. That's right.
So speaking of that, that's a question, you know, people have, like, what do you struggle with? Because we all have our things.
Absolutely.
And so it's really cool to know you, because I didn't know your story at all when we first met, like I said, back in 12. But we DJed during that 2-3 year period, 12 to 2014. So then you had this sort of breakthrough in 2014 that you, you know, like to share about. What happened in 2014?
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, I'll just start out by saying it's been, I think, over six and a half years since the last time I drank alcohol. And I'm 29 years old. So if you're doing the math on that, I was 22 when I stopped drinking alcohol. And I was really forced to. I'm not necessarily going to go into all of the details surrounding that, but I will say this. It got really bad.
Right.
It got to the point where it was the first thing on my mind every day. It was my coping mechanism. It was kind of something where it was like I started using alcohol as a crutch.
Right.
And in which case, I felt good for a short amount of time when I was drunk. I felt, again, good is not the right term. I'm not sure what the correct word is, but it's a very false sense. You're really tricking yourself into thinking that you're good. You're not, of course. I woke up the next day. I was an absolute mess.
Right.
Every morning, I'm a mess. And it got to a point where it had to stop. If it didn't stop, I was putting myself at risk. I was potentially putting others at risk. I didn't really think, and I did no thinking, really, during that time. I was just doing, and I was trying to run away.
Right.
And I didn't really think about the potential damage that I could be doing, not only to myself, but to those that are surrounding me, which this was in college. So, you know, really a lot of my roommates, my friends in college, and also the damage I'm doing to my parents. They don't necessarily know about this, but nobody loves and cares about me more than my family.
Absolutely.
And while they didn't see the extent of it, I know how much it hurt them, you know, and that mattered to me. No matter how bad I was doing at that time, no matter how kind of insane and how kind of almost hopeless my life had felt at that point, there was still a part of me that's like, I don't want to hurt others. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like there's still a part of me that's like, if I want to screw up my own life, that's okay. But I can't just do that. I can't just screw up my own life without affecting other people. Other people will always be affected. So it got to a point where one of my buddies that I was living with, he had the courage, and it really is courage, to say to me, you need help. And I could not be more thankful for him for doing that. And as soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, you're right. I didn't consider the thought of going to a rehab facility, which I did. That was not even on my mind. And then as soon as he said it, I was like, you're right. It's either I do that or I continue to spiral and spiral and go farther and sink farther and farther. So I decided to do that, you know, and I did battle a couple relapses.
Yeah, which is normal.
You're right, which is normal.
I mean, this is the real question, because
yeah.
We all, I mean, you speak of Springsteen, okay?
Yeah, I love
the Telecaster.
Oh, of course.
Like one of, I think, the best songs. I mean, it's not the best song, but it's just, I remember as a kid. One step up and two steps back.
Yeah, beautiful.
And you just
Mark.
Think about
that's
that.
Tunnel of Love. That's right. Tunnel of Love album, God. 87. I mean, that's like 80s Bruce. Like, I love that's such an underrated album. One Step Up is amazing. That's a great song.
Yeah, and so like we all are looking for help. Okay.
Yeah.
So this first episode, Help, my friend Ryan Lee Jones. Great song. Comes in, plays it here. Now you're here. You had to reach out for help.
Yep.
And then you have, it's hard to do that initially.
Absolutely.
But then when you have the relapse, what is that like?
It's embarrassing is what it is. It is. I felt embarrassed. That's how I felt. Now, I shouldn't have felt that way because you're right. I think I mentioned I had that relapse. And I think you mentioned right away, you know, that's normal. You know,
right.
And you're right. It is. But when I had that relapse, and I just had one. I don't remember what I said. I had one relapse. And after that happened, I you know, my mom basically found out because you know what happened is I was living with my parents at the time.
Right, because you
exactly. I had my relapse. I knew I was going to drink. I just decided it. I'm going to do it. You know, right. Whatever. I'm going to do it. I was down in my room. I was drinking. The last time I ever drank alcohol. I haven't drank alcohol since then. And I was drinking. And I don't know what happened, but I was playing guitar while. And apparently I was playing so loud. I don't even remember this. That my mom heard it. She came downstairs. She could tell I was drinking. She could tell I had a relapse right then and there. She could see. And the first thing my mom did was hug me.
Wow.
So, think about that. You know, it's like, and that's the kind of support that my parents that have given me throughout my life. I hope they hear this. I'm going to show this to them, and I really hope they hear this. I remember that. The first thing she did was hug me. And the first text I got that next morning, feeling all hungover and horrible, just like I never wanted to feel again. The first text message I got was, I love you. It's okay. You're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And it's like nothing but now think about that versus the other way. You know, my mom comes downstairs and it's Mike, what are you doing? This is not okay. This is not acceptable.
Which is what you'd expect.
Which is exactly to a certain extent what I would expect. And that's not what happened. And that embarrassment and shame that I started to feel kind of went away. And it was kind of replaced by motivation. It was replaced by, you're right, asking for help is hard. Calling your mom and saying, I have a drinking problem and I need to stop is hard. And it's not easy to do, but I've found the most important things usually aren't easy to do. I usually find if it's easy to do, it might not even be worth it to do it. You know what I mean? It's the things that help us grow are the things that are challenging. And asking my mom for help was one of the most challenging things I did, but it was also one of the biggest steps I could have taken to grow personally. So
wow, I want to hug your mom because
she's amazing.
An example, because some of the things that I don't know as a parent, and that's kind of what, because I am a father and I have four daughters, and you know, they'll have their issues and something, and they're crying out or whatever's happening that they're going through. The last thing you need to do is say something. The best thing you can do is just come around them and just say, it's okay.
It's just embrace them.
And embrace them and just say, you know what? I couldn't say anything anyway that would be beneficial. Just reach out and just hug them. And it's just so cool.
And
Yeah,
thank you. No, it is great. And I want to say, I know you have, you know, you're picking up quite a few listeners on this. And, you know, I want to say to anybody, you know, if I have this platform here, I always want to take advantage of the opportunity to say anybody can reach out to me. And anytime you do reach out to me, you're helping me. Believe it or not, anytime you reach out to me and say, Mike, I'm struggling, whether it's alcohol or mental health, you know, alcohol to me was a kind of a side effect, really, towards my mental health issues, which I still deal with and work with every day. I know how to work with them. I'm dealing with them in a much healthier way now. So don't ever think, you know, reaching out to somebody is a nuisance to them. People like to help each other. I think just in general, you know, people feel good when they have the opportunity to help each other. And I do, too. And I know that for me to be the best version of myself I can possibly be, I need to be able to help people, able to work with people. That's why I continue to go to AA meetings. I don't go as much anymore as I should, especially with COVID. You know, there's some kind of phone meetings now, but I do try to make myself available and present for those that are new to the program.
Yeah.
For those that are new, and I also want to be an example of a musician who's sober. I want to be an example of somebody who's in their 20s.
Yeah.
That can be sober, you know, that doesn't drink. Because that's not totally common to be a sober musician, to be sober in your 20s. It's totally different. There are sacrifices, don't get me wrong.
100%.
There are sacrifices, but there's never been like a single part of my mind that's like, I want to get drunk and go out to a bar and party. That's what the sacrifice is, right? I can't go out and maybe have my wild 20s as everybody else did. I don't actually want that though. I'm at a point now where that's not really what I'm seeking, you know? And I feel I feel good. I just feel kind of content with where I am right now. And that decision for me to get help and to start making progress in not only removing alcohol from my life, but introducing new things into my life, introducing passions, healthy things into my life. Yeah.
Well, you already beat me to the segue. What I wanted to find out was, you know, what are the things, how did it sort of, after your mom intervenes that way, you're kind of like, all right, I'm back on track. Yeah. Where did the rivers divert to spread it out in a healthy way?
It was all about support. It was all about people. I stopped making my life about alcohol. I stopped making my life about running away from my problems. And I started making it about dealing with my problems directly with the help of other people. You can't do it. I shouldn't say you can't do it on your own. I don't know. Maybe somebody can. But my experience has been you need people. You need a support team. And that's what started to happen with me. I started to replace. Well, you kind of do. I mean, you remove alcohol. You have to replace it with other healthy hobbies. I was going to AA very frequently at that time. I had a sponsor I was working with very frequently. They talk in AA about a higher power. It's a very spiritual program.
Of course.
I'm not a religious person myself. And that did kind of hinder me from being able to really embrace the program at first until I really realized, you know, what I'm looking for here is that higher power to me is almost just being around a group of people where when I was drinking, I felt like I was the only person in the world dealing with that issue. I really did. I felt like I don't know. Alcoholism doesn't run in my family. I don't know people that were dealing with that issue. So it's like when I'm in a group and I look around at all these people sitting around me and they're in there, you know, and these are amazing people, mind you. These are lawyers. These are doctors. These are incredibly successful, cool, awesome people.
Yeah.
Just like me, you know, sitting around, and we're all helping each other towards the same goal, which is not only to stay sober. That's a very small part of it, in my opinion. We're helping each other to maximize our potential in life, and to serve others to like the fullest capability that we can, you know. And that's what I feel like is discussed in those meetings, and that's what I feel like really kind of helped get my mind straight is just working and talking through it with other people. I became much, much more unafraid to be vulnerable. And I'm not embarrassed about it. As I stand right now, I'm absolutely not embarrassed about it. And I believe there are people that are going to hear this, that if it's not them themselves, maybe they know somebody that's going through it. I think a lot of people can relate to it. And I don't only want to be, I feel like I need to be. And for me to continue to be the best version of myself I can be.
Love it.
I need to be able to continue to help people. So
absolutely love it. And I love that you've channeled it for sure with your band, your guitar.
Absolutely.
So let's hear that Telecaster. Let's do it.